I'd like to thank the pastor and the church for the confidence that you placed in me by inviting me to come and share some thoughts with you from the Word of God. I'd like to thank Home Baptist Church for having us, for the good food you provided, the good place to sleep, putting us up and putting up with us. We appreciate you. Thank you. Thank God for you. I probably will not try to read from the Bible any of the text, so don't think it odd. I have a large print Bible, but I can't see enough to read it, so I use my computer, my word processor, to type my outlines, and I put my passage of scripture in there, and I use a big font, 18 or 20, so I can see it. It'll still be the Word of God, what I use. You can be turning in your Bibles or finding in your Bible the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And we'll also use the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. And I will be preaching on the subject of God's call to sleepers. But let me assure you, there's more people sleeping than just those in the auditorium of Home Baptist Church. So we'll get settled down here in a minute and preach if the Lord enable us to do so. But not too long ago, somebody was in my home and they said, are you on Facebook? And I said, what's Facebook? And so they explained it and I got on there. I guess I'm on there. And I got 37 emails requesting I be their friend. I got emails from people I don't even know, just like the Rhinestone Cowboy. And then one day I got 100 and some. I'm going to answer y'all just as soon as I learn how to use that thing. I'm trying right now. But I'm forgetting how to do things. I don't know if it's my age. My doctor says aging. And I just forget how to do things. And so I'll try and get a couple of pictures on Facebook so you'd know who it was. You wouldn't forget me, you know. And I'm having trouble. I can't do it. And it started to bother me. And I got a book out, and I've tried everything. I've got a scanner and a copier and all that stuff. And I got a book out, and it said copy and paste. So I tried copying and paste. I copied the picture and pasted it to the screen. Did a few other things. And still didn't get the picture on there, and it started bothering me. I'm starting to forget things. So I talked to my doctor about it. I went to the doctor, and I told him, I said, I used to have a photographic mind. And I said, you know, I never forgot anything. I said, you know, I had a photographic mind. And after a short examination, he said, Clyde, he said, got good news for you. He said, you still got a photographic mind. I said, you just don't have a film in it. So I hope everybody's awake. God's call to the sleeper. I had another joke, but if I told it, my wife said, in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that, notice the punctuation mark, knowing the time, another punctuation mark, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. Now, aren't you saved all the way? Why, of course I am. I just don't have a glorified body. Amen. So the body is going to share in the resurrection glory also. You see, we've heard that preached here. So it's time to wake up, knowing the time. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Word of God says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I don't know where I got this message, but if one of you preachers recognizes it in one of your outlines, I'd like to thank you for it. There are two classes of people in the world today, and both are sinners. Saved sinners and lost sinners. Of the saved sinners, there are those that are spiritual and those that are carnal or worldly. It is getting to the point today that it is extremely difficult to tell the Christians from the world, from the lost people. We could say of those that are spiritual that they are awake, that they are walking in light, they are actively serving the Lord that bought them, they're well aware of the signs of the times, they're watching for the return of the Lord Jesus to come, deliver them out of this sin-cursed earth, this world. And while they wait and watch, they are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. That is called progressive sanctification. That is those spiritual people that are awake and who love the Lord, they're being conformed to that image. They haven't gotten there yet. And somebody said today, the Lord's still working on that person. He's still working on me, and I'm glad of it. On the other hand, those saved sinners that are carnal are said to be asleep. They are walking in darkness. They are passive. They hit and miss in their services to the Lord. They come a Sunday and skip three. I hope they get tired of skipping, don't you? They're unaware of the signs of the times. They are not expecting the Lord to return. And they progressively become more worldly, as described in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, which reads, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was ever purged from his old sins." What a terrible state to be in. How miserable to just walking in the wilderness. You know, Christians, people who are saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, they can spend their time sojourning here, wandering aimlessly in the wilderness, or they can be kept in Canaan every day. Amen. They can be in a utopia state of living if they desire to do so. But those that are carnal and worldly, they are happy wandering in the wilderness, so they say. I don't believe they're happy. The lost sinner is described in the scriptures by various similitudes. He is presented as an alien, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, as a rebel, as an outcast, as a captive, as diseased, as blind and wretched and lost. He is also spoken of as deceived and perishing. In our text, describes a lost sinner as asleep and dead. Lord willing, in the time remaining for this message, we will consider and study 3 points. And let me give you these 3 points, and you preacher brethren can make a good one out of it. And then, Lord willing, if you give me the grace, I will elaborate on them. First of all, we want to look at the sleeper's awful state. And then secondly, we want to look at the gracious call of God to the sleepers. And thirdly, we want to note the great promise of God. Now please let all the saints be praying then that the Almighty God would be pleased to allow the Holy Spirit be our teacher as we study together. First, we want to note the sleeper's awful state. The lost sinner asleep is in danger of eternal fire in hell. The lost sinner that is asleep is in danger of eternal fire in hell. The saved sleeper is in danger of a sin unto death. And that is a terrible loss of rewards. Now people say, "Preacher, what's the sin unto death?" I don't know. If I knew, I would certainly not do it. If you knew, you wouldn't do it. Lying to the Holy Spirit was a case of one man and his wife. Rebelling against the spiritual leader was a case of some people where the earth swallowed him up. And so this is the loss of rewards. And either way, this is a deadly sleep and is characterized by the following striking symptoms. First of all, it is a state of darkness. In sleep, the organs of vision are closed. There may be rays of light. There may be scenes of beauty, such as nature and etc., but they are not seen. There may be many wonderful things happening when we are asleep, but the vision is closed to that, and we're not aware of it, and we do not see it, and we do not behold the beauty. And such is the condition of the carnal Christian. They do not see the beauty of their salvation. The carnal Christian, if he could see the beauty of his salvation, he would be rejoicing and serving the Lord. He would go back to where he lost it and get started over again. And he would do that readily without hesitation. And they do not see the great promises of God. If the carnal Christian could see the great promises of God, it doesn't make any difference what the United States government does. It doesn't make any difference if the United States goes down the drain. It doesn't make any difference if the economy dropped completely out. God is still God. And God is still in charge. The God of the mountain is the God in the valley. The God of the good times is the God in the bad times. The God in the day is the God of the night. And he's still on his throne. Amen. So it doesn't make any difference. But the carnal Christian doesn't see that. They go around chewing their fingernails off up to the elbow, telling people how bad it is, how sorry they feel for themselves, and how sorry that other people ought to feel for them. They see not the danger that they are walking in. You know, I remember sometimes at night trying to get home and no moon shining and no street lights and going up the creek and you stump your toe on a rock or you'd be in the creek and off the road and so forth. And that's the way the carnal Christian is. He doesn't see where he's going. He doesn't see the pitfalls. He doesn't see the danger. He doesn't read the detour signs and so forth. And such is the condition of the lost soul in a state of darkness without truth and saving knowledge. He's ignorant of himself. You know, he said, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody okay. Dr. Harris wrote that book. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody not okay. You know, we all have problems. If it wasn't for God's grace, we'd have a lot more. He's ignorant of himself. And I tell people sometimes, surely you don't think I'd do that. I'd do that and a whole lot more if it wasn't for the grace of God. And you would too. You know, the heart is it's deceitful. And who can know the heart, you know? And so he's ignorant of himself. He's ignorant of God. He's ignorant of Jesus Christ. He's ignorant of the things that belong to his peace, that brings that peace that passeth all understanding. He has the revelation, the light of the gospel is shining, but he sits in darkness and in the shadows of death. He doesn't see that. It is a state of insensibility. The carnal Christian is insensible as to the signs of the times. The Bible said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Asleep, the person hears not. He enjoys not the... he is temporarily dead to all the things around about him. I served about 48 months in Korea, 14 months and 27 days in combat, 6 months and another time in combat, and the rest of the time was in after the... whatever they did over there. And those Korean boys would steal on you. They would call slicky boys. And they were so slick that they could steal your radio and leave the music playing. And they would also come in the tent sometime when you're asleep and take the liner out of your parker. And you're sound asleep. You didn't know that until you got cold. So that's the way sinners are. And especially carnal, worldly sinners. And such is the state of the sinner. He hearkens not to God. He enjoys him not. 1,000 blessings are near him, but he has no taste nor no desire to enjoy those blessings or to receive them. Jesus Christ said, you will not come to me. the will, meaning the desire. Another place it said you cannot come, not having the ability. And so there's all kinds of invitations, all kinds of blessings, but he is not interested in those. And oh, the lost joy of the Christian sleeper. He hears not the ringing bells of joy. He sees not the many rivers of delight. In the Old Testament economy, when the high priest went into the holies of holies, only himself could enter into the holies of holies, and he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat for his own sins and for the sins of the people. And when the Shekinah glory filled the place and God had accepted the sacrifice, the high priest would turn to walk back to the people. And when he would turn, the bells on the hem of his garment would ring. And the people would begin to rejoice, knowing their sins were forgiven for another year. Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Can't you hear them singing? Oh, my friend, we don't hear the joy bells ringing anymore because we're asleep. We are asleep. We're dead to the things around about us. Amen. And how sad on our part. And it's a state of inactivity. You know, you don't do much when you're asleep. Sometimes you snore. But that's about all that I know of that you do when you're asleep. Brother Garner Smith and I were preaching for a fellow sometime up in West Virginia. And we were standing in his house. He had two recliners in the living room. And I got one recliner, and Brother Garner Smith got in the other one. And we woke each other up snoring. So it's a sign of inactivity. In sleep, all the limbs are at ease. There's no desire formed. There's no plans laid out. And there's no work effective. You don't do much when you're asleep. Now, I'm not afraid of work. I can lay down and go to sleep right beside of it. But you really don't do much when you're asleep. You're inactive. And such is the state of the sleeper, both lost and saved, as to all moral and spiritual labor. People don't sing. They don't go on visitation. They don't do the church work. They don't clean the toilets. They don't sweep the floor. They don't do the things that they should be doing. He labors not for the bread of life. He does not seek more about Jesus. There's a song that we sing at church, more and more about Jesus. And he doesn't do that. He agonizes not for the crown. He strives not for the gold. He works not out his own salvation. Paul said, work out your own salvation. That don't mean to work for the salvation, but work out the salvation that is in you. And so when a person is inactive, he's not working out his salvation. We ought to let our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and all of the families around about us, that we ought to be working that salvation out, and they ought to see our lights. They ought to see the light that is in us, and they ought to see what we have and desire to have the same thing, you see. And he does not flee from the wrath of God, and he walks not in the way of holiness, and he prepares not to meet his God. I believe we ought to prepare every day to meet God. I think we ought to repent every day of our sins, the sins that we committed, or the sins that we do commit. And you cannot be forgiven until you commit, and when you commit, you need to ask forgiveness. And then it's a state of illusion. Sleep is the season of dreams and vain imaginations. You know, when I was first saved, I was driving a truck, driving all over the United States of America. And, after I retired from the Army, and after the Lord saved me, I used to lay in that truck and sleep and dream about replacing Billy Graham. I'd think about designing a big old tractor-trailer truck and that would fold up on its side, and I'd pull out into a great big field and let all that down and have a loudspeaker and have a band on the truck and everything, and I'm going to preach and knock them dead. When I realized I wasn't going to replace Billy Graham, I stopped dreaming. I got down to hard, cold facts. So, how striking these dreams often are, and how clear and how like reality truth and yet all elusive. It is a state of sin in one of illusion dreams. We dream about those things that dream. It's afflicted with a plague of sin, and yet they dream about health. People who are sick and know not the Lord Jesus Christ, or those carnal Christians are asleep, and they have terminal illnesses, and yet they dream about perfect health. They dream about a better day, and so forth. And the poor, they dream of riches. The poor man dreams of hitting the lottery. If God wanted you to be rich, you'd be rich. And you don't have to worry about that. And you don't have to play the lottery to get rich. God made Abraham rich. Ain't nothing wrong with being rich if God gives it to you, you see. And the debased, they dream of dignities. They dream of, when I would have lost been in the army, I always dreamed of being general of the army someday. I was very fortunate to retire as a sergeant. But they dream about all of these things, you see. And the wretched yet dream of bliss and joy. The condemned and in the way of ruin, and yet they dream of heaven and eternal life. The life is fleeing from them, and they dream of years to come, what they're going to do when they get old and so forth. The Bible says the day will come that you'll stretch forth your hands and somebody else will gird your clothes on you and take you where you wouldn't go. And so there's no need to dream of those happy days and all that thing. It's not going to get better until the Lord comes. And when the Lord comes, it's going to get better. And it is a state of peril. Asleep, they are no longer able to watch and to defend themselves. They're the bad man can break into your house. A murderer can come in and shoot you or kill you or whatever. And they're just waiting to shed blood. And so it is with a Christian. When he's asleep, that's when Satan is going to do the work. And you can rest assured of that. And how many have slept only to wake in eternity? You know, people sleep, they pass up opportunities to come to the Lord. They're invited to come to the Lord. The Lord invites them. The preacher invites them. People tell them about that. And how many souls do you know that woke up in eternity? You know, I remember being down at Fort Benning, Georgia, and we had an aircraft called a Mohawk. And we had some of our young officers that were flying those Mohawks. And I remember one young captain in particular from Corpus Christi, Texas. And he was dreaming about going to Corpus Christi. He said, "Oh, they won't know me. I'm going to get to fly my Mohawk all the way down to Corpus Christi. They won't know me." Well, he was he dreamed and dreamed and dreamed on. And he was coming in one day and a twin-engine aircraft, and he and his co-pilot, and the centrifugal force, when he banked, he banked too sharp, and the centrifugal force pushed the airplane out. He hit a high-tension line. And both of the pilot and the co-pilot both had their heads cut off by the wire. They ended up in a pond, and he woke up in eternity. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The rich man woke up in hell. He lifted up his eyes. He said he was tormented in hell. So also from accidents and fires and storms and etc., and from diseases and from sudden death. You know, there's a lot of times people don't expect to die. They just keep on dreaming like they're going to live forever. And so exposed is a sinner. And the sinner, he's exposed in every moment to the just displeasures of the Almighty God. And so was the king that had to eat with the cattle. And his hair grew like feathers and his nails like bird claws. And like the rich farmer that's recorded in the book of Luke, he said, "I've got a bumper crop." He said, "I don't know what to do with it. My barns won't hold it." And he said one day, he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tear my old barns down. I'll build new barns and I'll have plenty of room to store my goods. And then I'll say, soul, take thy rest. I have goods laid up to last for many years. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Now who do these things belong to? You know, me and my wife, we enjoy life to the fullest. God blessed us far above measure, far better than we deserve. We have more today than we've ever had in our life. We have a beautiful home. We have beautiful grandchildren. We have three wonderful great-grandchildren, two great-granddaughters, and a great-grandson. And God just wakes us up in the morning, and we praise the Lord, and He's just so good to us. But we're not leaving anything for our children. I hope when we die, both of us go together, and we got the last two hoe cakes in the skillet. I don't want to leave anything for anybody to fight over. The Bible says you work and you work and you work, and it's all vanity. Who do these things belong to now? And then the sleep is a state of disease. It is not natural and healthy sleep, but the result of disease and the effect of moral depravity. And that's where the carnal Christian is, and that's where the lost sinner is today. And hence it becomes more profound, more universal, more inexcusable, till it terminates in eternal death. And it is a sleep of death, leading in death everlasting. From this state, men never wake themselves. Second thing I want to notice this evening, and I got to hurry, is the gracious call of God to the sleepers. It is God speaking in both of our texts, and He is speaking in mercy with a view to our salvation. Not as He will speak in the last day when His voice will awake the dead and shake the universe. And God thus calls. He called by various circumstances and events in our life, often by adversities. God brings adversities in the life of people that the only way they can look is to look up. And the only one they can call on is God. And yet, men sleep on. He calls by afflictions. He calls by the example and advice of friends and loved ones. I remember many times hearing my mother pray for me. And when I was an old drunken master sergeant at Fort Benning, Georgia, and my wife and children belonged to the Baptist church in a little town called Casita, and many times I would be there passed out. And they'd come to my home and because they were concerned about me, and they'd pray for me. Sometimes I would vomit while they were there, and yet they loved me and they prayed for me. And how many people are in a backslidden state that have a pastor that loves them and praying for them and caring for them, and brothers and sisters in the church body that's doing the same thing, and maybe a mother and a daddy, and maybe a brother and a sister. They're giving you advice, and yet it is ignored and rejected, but God keeps calling. God calls by His blessed word. Maybe someone here today has heard the word read many, many times. Maybe you've even heard it preached many, many times, and you're asleep. Wake up and listen to it. I heard my daddy preach for many, many years, and I ignored it until I would get in some foxhole and mount a machine gun and on a ridge somewhere in Korea, and I'd get scared and I'd repent. When the ship broke down, I repented. And when I got scared, I repented. But I was still asleep. I was still asleep. I rejected my mother's prayers. I remember the Bible reading that she would read to us and the preaching of the word by my dad and by other people. By the word written and preached, I want to note two scriptures on this. He's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. He said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." I speak this to your shame. God here is speaking to sleeping Christians. Now note 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He said, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Most here today have heard the word of God. You've heard it read, you've heard it preached. And you should remember how it calls to repentance. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first message that he preached, he said, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry, the first thing he preached was repent and believe. Repent and believe. We don't hear very little preaching today about repenting. Brother Harold Harvey used to say when people come to him for counseling, he'd say, come on. And the first thing he would say to them, repent, repent, repent. And if people do the repenting, pastor wouldn't have to counsel anybody. If they go back to where they lost it and get back on, wouldn't have to counsel anybody. And how it urges salvation, but especially by the preaching of the word. The Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that's lost. Not foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching. The pastor or the preacher goes forth expressly to warn people and to exhort. Have you not been called hundreds, yea, thousands of times? The Bible says, if any man have ears, let him hear. And God calls by the admonition of conscience. Who has not felt the inward convictions, the inward rebuke, the inward warning, and etc.? And how thus God calls men, but to what? He called them to awake, to arouse themselves, and to exercise their powers. He says, consider your ways, to reflect. In Romans 13:11, our text, he said, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. To arise from the dead, to forsake the position of sleep and death and company and state of the dead. And we try to illustrate this sleepness of the carnal Christian and the lost sinner as someone who is going to surgery. You go to surgery. A guy told me one day, I was going to surgery, and he said, you heard of milk of magnesia? I said, yeah. He said, this is the milk of amnesia. He said, you're not going to know a thing. And so he squirted that stuff in the IV, and there I was. And they cut me open. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't even feel nothing when they sewed me up. Those wires are hurt sometimes, but other than that, it's okay. So when somebody's drugged with a high-powered drug, you know, they are insensitive to everything, and they just lay in there and let people cut them open and sew them up and don't cry, don't scream, don't do anything. That's the way Christians are, and they just carnal Christians, and they just hurt all the time, and they don't scream, and they don't want to help sometimes. And last, we note the great promise of God. He said, Christ shall give you light. Most of the time in the New Testament, when you read the word darkness, sitting in darkness, it's talking about ignorance. Ignorant of the word. Ignorant of what's around you. And the lost sinner is in complete ignorance as to the hereafter, as to the way of God, about Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the millennium reign, all of those things he's ignorant of. And carnal Christians seem to be proud that they're ignorant of many, many things. They hear and they hear not. The blessings promised is life. You know, when you are ignorant of something, and when I learn something, that is life. And I really need life. I try to learn something every day. And if somebody said something about the English language, the English language is the hardest language in the world to understand. Can you imagine what a baby thinks about when the mother says, take that wash rag and wipe your face off? Wonder what they mean by that. You know, and so I was flying one day in an aircraft at 35,000 feet, and the pilot announced that the temperature on the windshield of the airplane was minus so many degrees. And he said that the windshield factor. And I thought they meant the windshield factor was what the temperature was on the windshield. So I'm driving down the road in a truck, and I hear them mention about the windshield. I thought that's how cold it was on the windshield of my truck. Ignorant. And when I finally learned that, man, it was light. You're talking about the effect the wind is blowing. Man, I was glad to learn that. Enlighten me. See, I was in ignorance. Ignorance. And, you know, people are ignorant of Satan. They think the devil is somebody with red underwear on and two horns and a long tail and riding a Honda. And then when they learn who the devil is, they're enlightened. And that's the light that Christ gives. Christ giveth light. The light of true peace and joy are the forgiveness of sin. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that my sins are forgiven. How wonderful it is to know that when I sin, that I can approach the throne of grace through the shed blood of Jesus. When that veil rent in two, it opened up a way that I could go into the very holies of holies and find forgiveness of my sin. And the blood of Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. The light of holiness. Be ye holy as he who called you is holy. You know, we ought to be sold out to Christ. I don't think we ought to jump up and down on the pews, and I don't think we ought to turn the pews over and run and butt the wall and all that kind of stuff, but we ought to be set apart. Set apart for the glory of God. That's what it's talking about. Amen. God set us apart before the foundation of the world, and when we are being set apart, progressive sanctification, a new heart, becoming a child of light, how wonderful it is. And the source of the blessing is Christ. Christ is appointed to this. It is his work. He came to seek and to save the lost. And to many here today, maybe, whoever will may come. Whoever will, the bride, the spirit, whoever will, let him come. The manner of his bestowment is he shall give. It's not that you earn it, not that you can buy it, but he shall give. All his blessings are gifts, and all gifts from God are perfect. Amen. If you're here today and lost and undone without Jesus Christ, I'd like to take just a moment and invite you to come to Christ. And you say, Brother Hancock, what must I do to be lost? Nothing. How do you know I'm lost, Brother Hancock? If there's never been a time in your life when a godless sorrow was wrought in your heart that brought you to a place of repentance toward God, sorry that you ever sinned against the holy and a righteous and just God, and give you the faith to believe in his son Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you and would have died for you if you'd been the only sinner on earth. If you never come to that point, you're lost. What must I do to be saved, Brother Hancock? The Philippian jailer asked that same question of Paul and Silas when they were in jail at Philippi, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and a carnal Christian and you're asleep, go back to where you got off the track. Go back to where you lost the power. If you have something against your pastor, make it right today. You have something against a brother or sister, make it right today. Don't wander in the wilderness. You don't have to spend the next 40 years in the wilderness. You can live in a utopia Christian surrounding. Amen. By repenting of your sins and getting right with God. Amen. And if you never get right with God, you'll never get right with your church, your spouse, your children, your pastor, etc. May God bless. Brother Piper.